Hello, guys, and welcome to the Faith and Swim podcast, where we dive into, pun intended, the intersection of swimming and living a life for God. Today, we have a very awesome guest, somebody who has gone through club swim and has even gone through college swim, who's a sophomore currently, and who, from what I remember, when I was going to state down in Texas and all that stuff, was just a leader, he was an excellent swimmer. Did everything he did with excellence, but also had a lot of character. And so I would love to introduce you guys to Evan Woody.
Yeah, thank you, Solomon. Very nice words. Yeah, my name is Evan Whitty. I swim at the United States Air Force Academy, and in high school I swam for Lakeside Aquatics Club and for Ian High School. So, yeah, this is like my, I don't know, 6 or 7 year of swimming. So really not that long, but it's been a great ride.
Yeah. Which is crazy. Like, you've gone far in such a short amount of time, man. Like, not a lot of people can say that. I mean, I've been swimming for like a decade, but you just got right into it.
Yeah, my swimming career. I was thinking about this morning. It's just unrelated to this, but I was thinking about this morning. My whole swimming career could be done, like started and ended within a decade, like within 10 years. Because I started, I think, in like 2018, and I'll be done 2028. So spooky.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's my class motto for
Got
Air Force Academy.
it. So let's just dive right in. So what got you into swimming? Like, was it like swimming at the YMCA, or you just got thrown into a club swim? So how did that go?
We talked about this before, but things happened with recording. But what got me into swimming was I got in trouble at school, and so yeah, I got in trouble in school. So my mom put me into swim. That's what I remember at least. So yeah, I needed like some structure in my life, and so I got put in a swim over the summer, and then, I trained for a little bit, and then like over the summer I trained and I got okay at it, and I joined like a little lifetime club. It was good. I had an all right time there, but yeah, that's kind of what got me into it, was I got in trouble in school, so I had to not get in trouble.
Yeah. And it can be the oddest things that like points us to where we go. I mean, I got into swimming because my brother started, and I mean, I did everything after him. So when he did basketball, I did basketball. When he did soccer, I did soccer. And so a lot of what I did when I was younger was just an emulation of what Sam did. And so when Sam started swimming at a club in Duncanville, and he was just doing good, my dad was like, might as well throw the younger son into it too. And I mean, that's how my career started. It was just, following after my brother. And I mean, the really cool thing is that we got to swim together in a sense throughout all of our high school careers. Although he was 3 years older than me, I got to finish off my freshman year as him as a senior, going 1-2 in the 100 fly districts, which was just like amazing. And it was like such a dope memory because not every sibling can do that. And furthermore, we didn't only just 1-2 in the 100 fly. Because he had the record when I was a freshman, and so for high school. And then my sophomore year, I got to beat that. And so it's kind of like we 1-2 in that as well, which was just really dope. And so it can just be like the oddest things that gets us into the sport that leads us on our way. And then, we look back and we're like, wow, that had so much purpose,
Yeah, that's cool, man. Yeah, I love you too. Y'all are awesome. But I kind of have a similar thing going on with swim, but also with like my like life choice. So like, I'm joining, like I'll be a lieutenant in the Air Force when I graduate, and then my sister is she, I think 2 days ago, she like got accepted and like went to VMI. I don't know what you call it. It starts with some fancy word, but like Her first day of BMI was like 2 days ago. And so Virginia Military Institute, for those that don't know. And so her goal is from, I hope I don't get it wrong, but from what I remember is she wants to be a medic in the Marines. So that would be pretty sick if she pulls that off. And that kind of like, I can't speak for her, but from my perspective, it seems like me going in a military pathway might have either encouraged her or like guided her or like in some way planted the seed that maybe joining the military could be an option for her. So and so she's done really well since I left. So I'm really proud of her. So hi, Carissa.
Yes. And so you're the older brother?
I am, yep.
Okay,
We're
so we're
22
kind
months
of
apart, but one school year, like one grade apart.
got it. Yeah. So we're different. I'm the younger child, and so I mean, I guess it's kind of different being the older one. You're actually leading the way. I mean, my brother had to do a lot of he was the first, to do it in the family. Well, not in the family in that sense, but he
Hey, don't you
was.
have a third brother? Am I or am I
I don't
tripping?
have a third brother. No, I just
Okay.
have one. Yeah, but he led the way, and in so many ways, my life has been easier because I just did what my brother did. And so, even the school that I go to now, I go to Howard, HU, The only reason I even knew about the school was because 3, 4 years before I'm here now, my brother went on a recruiting trip here, and I just fell in love with the city. I fell in love with like just the atmosphere here, and that kind of put on the map for me. And then once I actually reached out and I did my official visit, I just fell in love with the team entirely. And so I wouldn't have, even thought about this, I think, unless if I just tagged along with my brother when he was doing his recruiting visits and all that. And so, I was able to bear the fruit of that. And that just kind of goes to show just the importance of older siblings, how y'all just, like trailblaze and make life easier, and all that stuff. And in a sense, God uses y'all to kind of like light a path for your younger siblings, and so that's just like really dope.
Yeah, I totally agree.
And so now I guess more on your story with God, the second question is like, when did you give him your life? Was it like a thing that just happened over time, or was it just like this one moment you remember where it felt like there was a paradigm shift and it was like, okay, it's go time?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a crazy like story to it really. I just kind of grew up at church. And so I had an amazing like youth, if you want to call it that. Had a great time growing up with some really good spiritual leaders. I went to Life Community Church in Haslett. It was this little church on a hill at like the local park, and it was great. I met Pastor Hal and his son Ren, and that's kind of like was my childhood. It was just hanging out at church. That was my favorite time. And like I learned so many lessons there. And even now, like I went back for Christmas, I think. And I went to go see, oh, and spring break. And we go see Hal. And it's just so good to see him. Like he was an incredible role model for me. And I really respect like the he built that church. And so it's like they started out in like a school somewhere. And then eventually they upgraded and bought this little house that they turned into a church, or might have been something like that. And then a couple of years ago, like they finally paid off the house, so now they own the church. So it's awesome. Yeah, that's where I grew up, and I learned all the, I had some tough times there, and I learned a lot of hard lessons. But it's good to be held responsible and kind of be taught how to be like a man, like how to really become the person that God has called us to be.
Yeah, that's good. I think there's a really good point in there talking about just kind of the importance of having like that person over you, like that spiritual authority, somebody that walks with you like a mentor. So like in First Timothy and just Paul's ministry, as Paul was, serving different churches, he also had a younger person under him, Timothy, that he would mentor, and he would tell him or he would exhort him to do things like to just stand firm in his faith, to speak against false teachings, to encourage the church that he served. And so I think it's just so important for us as believers to always have that like support system, because oftentimes, especially when like, I mean, shout out Pastor Sly. He's my youth pastor back when I was at TCAL. He helped me a lot. There's many times I would like call him and I'll tell him about a situation and I'll be thinking one way. And then after talking to him and he like brings in scripture and he really lifts me up with God's word, it's like I'm completely thinking the other way. I'm like, hindsight is always 20/20, but I'm like, okay, this makes so much more sense because, it's a person that actually walked through things, experienced things, and now they can, impart that knowledge onto us so that we won't make the mistakes that, they made. And I think that's just so important. Shout out your pastor,
Yeah,
building a
he has a
church.
lot of real life experience with this. So he used to be a police officer, and so he has all sorts of cool stories he can share. And like, hey, I just love the guy. He's awesome.
Yeah. And so like you chose the Air Force, and I saw in your bio on like the Air Force roster for swim and dive on the roster for swim and dive, it said that just the Air Force just felt right for you. And so in your college search, what made them stick out and why do you make that choice?
Okay, so I'm forgetting the timeline, when you get older you forget things, I guess. But yeah, I went on a swim camp here, and like I stayed in Vandenberg Hall and I just played volleyball and swam and had a great time. And that was like it for me. Like I was like, you know what? I'm gonna come here. There was no questions asked. I went to other schools later throughout my like recruiting journey, if you want to call it that. And just you can't compete with the best. Like that's just it's on a different level. So I don't think there's any school that I would rather be at. Like it would be cool to experience some other schools. Like if I had like 100 lives, I could like go to ASU and swim for the national champs, but like, how realistic is that? I think I would have to put in a lot more work in high school.
Yeah.
But this place, I honestly think, is the best school you can go to for anything. While you're here, it's, up and down, but like getting out here, dude, like there's no other school that gives you the opportunities and the places that you can venture out to than the Air
Yeah.
Force Academy.
Yeah. So
And,
what are
Naval Academy in West Point, they tried to fake it, but everyone's following us.
Yeah. So actually, no, that's a you gave me a very good thought. So what's that rivalry, right? Like, because every school they have their, rivals and whatever, but it seems like there's a special thing going on with your school and just your rivals and stuff like that. So like just describe that.
Yeah, so our like rivals, I would say, are probably like University of Wyoming and Denver. They're the closest to us. UNLV, we competed against them frequently. But yeah, they're good. I mean, I would say that they in the past maybe they've been equal to us, but we've got a lot of things stirring and we're gonna be like you'll say, end of the season, we'll see. But I think we're gonna be really, really good. And when it comes to like the little, sibling rivalry between the other service academies, like it's all fun and games. But I have a lot of respect for the guys at the Naval Academy and West Point. There's some guys from Texas at both of those, and they're good people. But if we're ever competing or we're trying to see who's the best, I mean, there's a reason we're in the sky and far away from all these land dwellers and little mermaids, like we don't mess with them.
And if I'm not mistaken, when Kyle Sockwell, you remember the dual meet tour that he did like a year ago?
Yep.
Was your school in that, or was it
No, I
like
think that was
another
just
one?
Army and Navy, but we're trying for the past, I don't even know how many seasons we've been, there's been like rumors of trying to get a little try meet going between West Point and Navy and Air Force. And I think what Air Force wants is we want them to come to us. And I think what West Point wants is, I don't know if it's because they're scared or because they don't have the money to travel or what the deal is, but I think that, I'm just kidding, they're not actually scared, but I think it's a money thing. But they just don't have the time or money to come all the way out here. And the schedules, you know, it's tough to line up three team schedules altogether. And they're cracking down on the military stuff at the Air Force Academy, so I'm sure they're doing the same at West Point and Navy. So yeah, I would love that. That would be awesome. Like this, if we did it this year, I think, I don't know, that might be like the best. That might be better than conference in my eyes. Like that would be so much fun. But yeah.
So I guess the next question, honestly, is more for me, but
Okay.
also because like this is just a new season of life. I mean, I went through the transition phase from, high school and then, finishing off club swim, and now I'm actually a college student. And
Yeah.
with being a freshman, it's just everything's new. Like you're wide-eyed and everything, and sometimes there's like mistakes that you can make as a freshman that, that just are common, or things that you just wish you knew earlier. And so my question to you is, what was your like experience being a freshman on the team? And like, what are some advice or mistakes you wish you didn't avoid, as a freshman?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who's watching this, but I made a lot of mistakes as a freshman. So, yeah, that was, you know, especially at a military academy, it takes a little getting used to the culture and like what standard you're held to. So, I would say talking about swim being a freshman, the first like, you know, the first month you're kind of learning where you fit on the team, and then you kind of move out from there. Like you kind of, you know, there's always like a pecking order of who's at the top, who's, you know, at the bottom, and that's kind of what our sport is we kind of like stack and rack everyone until we have a first and a last place. So, you know, first month figuring that out, I would say I would fell somewhere in the middle, and then over time, like, no one wants to be at the bottom or at the middle, so everyone's trying to get to the top. And some like I got to like my sweet spot like pretty quickly, actually. Like I think my first I won my first college race at like the first meet we had. I won the 500, and that was fun. I enjoyed that. And then moving from there, like I had a great beginning of the season, and I kind of improved slowly after that. Like it went really quick and then it just slowed down. And the rest of the team, they had a little more gradual curve than I did. And then honestly, like, you know, they put in some serious work over Christmas training, and I did too. But I think there was a couple of my swims I wasn't so proud of, and I think some other guys have some awesome swims that you know, they just did better than me, if you want to just say it bluntly. They performed better than I did in more events. I did really well in one thing. I did like okay in the 4 AM, and then like other guys are having like three events, relays, all this stuff. They did really, really well at conference, and that's good. It feels good looking back to get beat. Like I have a fire under me of like, oh, this is like th this is what it takes to be on this team. It's like not just winning dual meets. Like you got to show up at conference and score some points. And luckily, I did my part. I scored the points I needed to score. But yeah, as an individual, I want to do better, and as a team, I want to do better. And so I can't blame someone else for my mistakes. I got to step up this year for conference. I got to step up and get us some more top three finishes. So.
Yeah, that's actually really relatable with just being outperformed, because my high school timeline was like freshman and sophomore year, I was just waiting for the people faster than me to leave, and I was gonna be like the best on the team and everything like that. And then as soon as junior year came, people younger than me started showing out, and then all the way into senior year, I was like competing, and I was never the best. But you talking about losing, I feel like getting acquainted with losing and losing well is actually such a like valuable trait to have, because it'll
Absolutely.
push you. Like it'll bring you to a place where you are so desperate and you want that win so bad that the training doesn't feel like it's that bad anymore. The like things outside of training, like eating right and stretching, doesn't feel that bad. I mean, everything just feels like, honestly, almost a pleasure to do in a sense. I mean, it may not be that way for everybody, but it almost feels like a pleasure to do, because you know that that goal and that feeling of winning is going to be so worth it, because you already know what it feels like to have your dreams crushed in a sense. And so, like throughout high school and club swim, I just got acquainted with losing. And then once my senior year rolled around and I started finally getting those wins, it was just like, it was so worth it. And I see you smiling, like, you know
I
how that
know
feels.
we've both been there. We
Yeah.
everyone's lost a race, and I've lost a lot of races. So,
Yeah.
it's tough to swim, especially like where we're at and or where we were at in North
Oh,
Texas.
yeah.
Like, we got like, I love Maximus, but when you get in a race with him, like the mental, like just superpower he has over like everyone. Like you're not going 41 in the 100 free to beat him. Like, at least that's not like realistic for, I would say, most of the population. Like,
Yeah.
he'll just beat you. So it's, I'm used to getting beat. I'm used to training and competing with some of the best guys that are out there right now. So I'm very accustomed to being beat.
Yeah, and I'm gonna lie, the environment in Texas was really nice in that
Yeah.
sense. Because although, like, I wasn't really winning nothing, I wasn't taking first place, unless it was like a smaller meet. It's prepared me to like just be prepared for stacked and good competition. I imagine like in regions where there aren't as many good swimmers, there can be almost a shock when you go into, say, like a D1 college or another environment if you like move states, and then all of a sudden the competition is so steep and it gets hard. But to go from like the high concentration of talent to an environment where you are, now kind of like at an even playing field, there is a confidence boost with that, because you know that I've been here before. And there's even been times when like I've outperformed myself and I beat people I didn't think I was going to be able to beat. And so I actually really appreciate coming where we came from just for that reason, just the almost confidence boost. You're like, I can stand with these people,
So something I would say, if like you're from Texas, just realize that you getting eighth at regionals and not making it anywhere, or like even eighth at district sometimes, like if you went to a different state, you could be at the state championship with your eighth place time in the district. Like, it is insane that like I scored like, I don't know, freaking just make up, let's say I went like a 435 and got snubbed out of going to state. That could have won like some random, like Rhode Island state. Like, there's some people that don't have the talent that we're competing against, and it's a blessing that we get to like just see that and realize that there's some really good people out there, and that it keeps you humble. Yeah, like keeps you really humble. And I'm also very like time blind, if you want to call it that. Like, someone goes a really crazy time, like in college or whatever, and you're like, that's cool, but I know a high schooler that can go like 20 seconds faster than you. It's like, it's not like a in a I'm better than you sense, but it's more of like a I understand where that time falls against the best in the nation. It's not just so like if I won my race, even if it was at a conference, I won my race, but like, you go up the next level, you go to a faster conference, you go to the NCAA championships. Like, it's not getting easier. These guys only get faster for some reason. They only get faster. They don't know going slow. They've never heard of it.
Yeah. It's good. So speaking on humbling, what has been like the biggest challenge you faced in swimming, and how did you overcome that?
Probably like, I don't know, biggest challenge I face in swimming is just like swimming. Like the daily grind. I love competing and I love like traveling and all this stuff, but for me it's the daily grind is tough. Like you get into, for me, every single year it's October. I struggle in October. Just like you're kind of just doing dual meets. There's no like big championship meet. I cannot function without a goal. Like if you make me swim without a goal in mind, without a meet, it's not happening. I'm sorry. And unfortunately, that's got me in a little bit of trouble with, you know, like just social trouble, I would say. Like people are like upset that I'm not focused, but the reason is I don't have a goal. Like unless I have a goal, it's not getting done for anything, for homework, for like my life goals. Like it ha there has to be something I'm striving for, and then everything that I do is gonna point towards it. So without, so like conference is a really good one, but sometimes it's hard to see in October. So mid-season would be my goal, is like just really perform there, and then after that, crush it at training for like December. Just like keep building, and then as soon as we get past December and we're into January, like it just gets easier. You just gotta get that ball rolling. And I struggle to get started, but I love it whenever it starts getting rolling and it starts feeling good.
And like, tell me you have this experience. Like, you go to your mid-season meet and like you either get your like get a goal time, or actually no, it usually what happened after I had a bad meet, the amount of motivation I had going to practice the next week would be off the charts. Like, I would it would be like I was a different person for that 1 week, and then the week after I would just be normal. But I think like with the reminders, having that mid-season meet just like goes to show how, looking at our goals and always like having that in our mind can change the way we swim. Like you said, like without a goal, it's hard to, keep going. When you're reminded by that, and even having the shock of that, like you say, you just do trash at that meet, it has a way to like motivate you, And so it's important. And one thing that I have done in the past, and I haven't really been good at it, like I'll put something on my wall to just remind me. And last year, one thing I did, because it was actually after a meet where I didn't do too good, I got a note from my I think it's great aunt. We just call him aunt, but Aunt Bonnie. She sent me a note in the mail, just kind of like telling me how much she appreciated what I did, and telling me how proud I was of her. And before on my wall, I had my goal times. It was just futures in the 100 fly, futures in the 2 IM, and I didn't get those times. So, I took that note, and I like it like did something to me. Like, it made me feel very grateful for swimming and just for the position I was in. And so I went to that wall and I tore down those two pieces of paper with the goal times on it, and I put up that note. And every single time I woke up and seen that note, it just reminded me of like why I swim. And so, as God had it, at the end of the season, I ended up getting both times. Even thinking about them, I was just thinking about how grateful I was, and I got those times, and that motivation. She gave me, she didn't know she was giving me it, just really stuck with me throughout the whole season. And I mean, it would have been very different if she, didn't reach out and show that support.
That's good, man. I'm glad. I do goals in a really weird way. I haven't done a time goal since my last time goal was like junior year. And once you hit every cut that you can hit, like as a other than trials, as like a high school or whatever, like you hit your summer's cut, you're like, all right, what's next? And you're like, trials. It's like that's a big jump. And you kind of like, for me, I was so obsessed with hitting times and hitting goals and all this stuff. It's like it was really wearing on me mentally. So senior year, I didn't have a time goal. My only goal was to enjoy swimming. And I accomplished that goal. I might not have swam as fast, but I was happier. And I was like a step back to take 2 steps forward. So this year, like I guess last season, swimming for the Air Force, I had a number, but that wasn't what I was obsessed about. What I was obsessed about was just becoming a better human, like doing better. Like I spent a lot of time recovering, a lot of time visualizing, a lot of time doing all the things I know I should be doing, but not a lot of time geeking out about numbers like I normally do for the past 4 years. And recently the last 2 to 3 years, I've been very like I guess like a subjective goal of like just doing my best. And the times have come and gone. I dropped like 8 seconds on the 4 a.m. this season. I'd credit a lot of that to Coach Rob and for like all, training with fast guys is fun. And I think that having fun, training fast, and weightlifting, oh my gosh, Coach John is insane at getting us stronger. So I don't know. My body responds really good to stimulus and like doing new things. My body loves it. It likes that challenge. So yeah.
It's really good. So you talked about just with instead of setting time goals, well, first off, I never got to where you were because I mean, my highest qualification time was winter juniors, so I was pushing for that summers, but my season this year just ended a little bit too early. But with just not setting time goals, you're setting goals like just being a better human. I think that's just so important because especially at a young age, being so impressionable, we can just get so absorbed in trying to be the best athlete we can.
Yeah.
And like that can just, and I say this in like all of my podcast episodes, it can just become our identity. And our identity is not in our sport or anything that we could do. Our identity is in being a child of God and being called to his purpose and just being loved as sons and daughters. And so it's like once we shift our goals from just time goals or anything like that, and then shifting them to how we can just become a better person, whether that be a better sibling, a better brother, a better person in general, you know, it's
Yep.
it, I mean, you just find that you just end up doing better overall and you feel more satisfied in
Yeah.
that.
All right. Yeah, some personal goals I think is a great way to like kind of transition from being the athlete, the swimmer, into being a functional member of society. So like, you gotta have goals for your relationship. You got to have goals for your spiritual life, whether that be, maybe you want to make sure that you're going to church every single Sunday. You want to do some extra stuff, do some serving. You got to have goals for that. It's not going to happen just because you hope it's going to happen. You got to set a goal and then go make it happen. And I think one of my favorite goals that I've been in the process of doing is like working on relationships with people. So my friendship, with people I meet at the academy, trying to stay in contact with people from back home, it's tough. They're on their own schedule, I'm on mine, but it's really worthwhile to send a text or call them from time to time, especially like on birthdays or something for it, and be like, hey, I'm thinking of you, happy birthday, stuff like that. Like that's meaningful, and that'll mean like if you want to have a relationship last, you got to remember the small things. So yeah. And building relationships with like now my parents don't have any kids at home, so I gotta just watch out for them, make sure they're doing all right. If they need me to come home sometime, I'll make it happen. And building a relationship with Abigail and her family, it's awesome. Like it's so fun to have non-swimming goals, which is a totally new thing for me in the past year. So yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah, that's so good. I mean, yeah, that's something I'm gonna have to learn in college. I've never been good with contacting people, but now I'm trying to like build that schedule.
Yeah.
And I mean, my main friend group at home, we're like, we're gonna go to college, we're gonna come back, and like we're gonna have so many stories to tell. We're just gonna like We're gonna have like a meeting, and because we're all doing different things. Like I have one friend doing aviation school,
Oh,
another
nice.
one in engineering, another girl, she drives race cars and like this Mazda cup thing, and just people doing different things. Another friend that's a missionary, and so we talk about it, and we're like, dang, we just want to come back and show what God has done in our lives. But ultimately, like when we grow up, like just be able to make an impact on the world and like do something that really has meaning. And so it's just really beautiful. But in between those times, we got to like keep that contact and always support each other, because we're always gonna need each other, and it's never about being in isolation or trying to do it yourself. You gotta have, that support group. And so that's what my friends are, and they're amazing.
I struggle with that. I like doing things on my own. I'm a very individual human. Like, I know, like, military and being on a swim team, all this stuff is very like team oriented or like, collective, but if it was up to me, the world would run off of how I want to do it, which, isn't gonna work well. I don't have good ideas, but in my head they're good. So I struggle to like ask for help and reach out. So yeah, make sure whenever you're going home, like y'all make time to get together. You might like get distracted with hanging out with family and everything, which is great, but it's also important that you make at least a day, like if you're there for a week, maybe you set one day apart. Hang out with your friends. So yeah.
Good.
That's exciting. Yeah. I kind of have friends in weird places, kind of like you do, from race car driver to random stuff. So yeah, that's cool. It's cool to like think of all the different things that the guys in high school are now up to. Like you're all doing a bunch of different things that I don't know. It's just kind of interesting to think about.
I think this can be the last thought, or unless you have anything else or whatever. Sometimes, like, my biggest thing is feeling like people don't have, or people, yeah, just straight up, people don't have time for me. And that's like one of the biggest reasons I don't reach out, because especially if it's like important people that have stacked schedules. Sometimes I'm like, I can seek help from somebody else, or it's almost like I don't want to bother them because they're already helping so many people. I don't want to like be a burden for them. But that's never the case, and that's just a lie that we tell ourselves to keep us from getting the help we need. And so that's a big thing I just had to realize just recently, that I'm not a burden, and that the people that actually care about me, they're gonna want to make that time. So,
Yeah. No, that's true. You're not a burden. I'll tell you that. You're not.
thanks,
And
bro.
if you ever want encouraging words, just call your mom. Like, I'm
Oh
sure she would
yeah.
love to hear from you. So,
So now we're landing this plane, so we got a rapid fire round. It's just five questions, super easy, and you gotta say the first thing that comes to mind. Okay, so that's the one rule. So let's get this started. First question is, what is your current hype song?
hype song. Okay, I don't listen to hype songs. I listen to chill songs. I like country music, like George Strait and stuff like that. I don't listen to like the rap and all that stuff. If you heard the thing I listen to behind my conference, like meets and everything, it would be so funny. Like some people listen to like rap and all this loud music. I'm over here listening to Baby Blue by George Strait in the
That's
middle of
funny.
my mile. So yeah, I gotta
Wow,
listen to
that's a first. That's a podcast first. Okay, 400 IM or the mile, which is harder?
4 a.m. or the mile? The mile, just because I enjoy the 4 a.m. The mile's tough.
Actually, I would say almost the same thing, but the mile, which is too long to not be harder. Like,
The
it's too
mile's
long.
mind-numbing. The 4 a.m. is exciting. You're switching strokes every minute. You're doing a new stroke. Like a mile, you're just doing freestyle for 16, 15 minutes. Like, don't know, man. I can find more interesting things to do and watch.
What sport would you be doing if it wasn't swim?
What sport? I would do, I don't know, probably triathlon if that's a sport, or like jiu-jitsu or some sort of combatives. I enjoy like I enjoy a lot of things. So maybe rock climbing.
Yeah. What's favorite swimmer? And this is your chance to shout out, I guess.
Okay, are we
I
talking
don't
like
want to put you
famous
in that
swimmer?
spot. My bad.
Are we talking about famous swimmer, like one of my friends?
fame either.
Okay. I really like watching Liam Marchand. I love his underwaters. I like just like it's cool to see someone break a record, and to see someone destroy a record is even cooler. So Liam Marchand, I would love to meet him one of these days. And then from my friends, a fun swimmer, I'd say like anyone from my high school, really, like Gavin Peterman, John Agutter, David Roach. I know you're watching. They were fun people. I love them. And then, yeah, I think Coach Russ used to swim, probably. I think there
Yeah,
was
probably.
dinosaurs around back then, but I'm sure there might have been some water.
That's crazy. That's crazy. Okay, superpower. Which one would you have?
I'd fly. Simple
Fly?
as that. I'd fly.
Yeah. What if you got like your wings cut off and you're like midair?
Now it'd be like Superman. I would just think and I would fly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like fly without wings, just like fly.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yep.
got it. Got it. Okay. And so the last question, it's not rapid fire. It's more so just like you speaking your heart. What is one piece of advice you'd want the viewer to know that you think is probably the most important advice that you could give?
Yeah. I don't know. I could pretend I know everything and try to give some wisdom, but I would say if I'm talking, let's just pretend I'm talking to myself, I would say high school year me, or yeah, high school me, I'd tell them to stay focused and make good relationships with people first and foremost. And then keep going to church, keep pursuing God. That's, I'm not perfect at all. So that's something that I need to hear too. So yeah, just keep pursuing God and build relationships with people. That's what's going to last you, not swimming fast or going to college. What's going to last you are the people and God. So yeah,
Amen.
especially your family
Yeah, that's for sure.
and chosen
Well,
family.
yeah, chosen. Oh yeah, that's so true. Well, thank you very much for being on, and I hope you guys have a blessed week. Thank you.
Yep, bye y'all.